Victory, but let me show you a different perspective. Shane, come up here and stand right there and face that wall. Adam, no, Zeke, come here. God blows our mind, don't he? Look, this is David and Goliath. Who you think should win this battle? By all accounts, the natural mind says Goliath is going to kill this little boy with nothing. That's not what the Spirit says.
Singing that song, I'm going to see a victory. I was just reminded of what the scripture says, that we always. And I said, wow, not only am I going to see a victory in this situation, but situation after situation after situation after situation after situation, I will see a victory in the name of Jesus. Woo! I want you to know that it's not just once in a while, but it is every time. You will always triumph in Christ Jesus. He will always give you the victory. Amen? I just need you to know that in the middle of the battle, you can't quit. Don't stop. You got to stand strong. I'm telling you that when the winds are blowing and the waves are beating against you and you're on that water and that boat's being flooded, that's when you have to say that my life is in His hands. And because He said I will get to the other side, I'm going to shout now because I'm on the other side of this battle. Amen? You know, this life is but for a moment. And I tell you what, I pray that it's a great moment. You know, the Bible says we can have 120 years. That seems like a long time, but I want you to know something. It is just a moment compared to eternity.
Amen.
And don't allow the disappointments and the discouragements and the afflictions of this life.
Yes.
The Bible says don't let the afflictions of this life steal from you the fullness of the glory that you're going to step into when we step into eternity. Amen? So we're going to shout, and just give God the glory.
I feel like that moment for us is going to be greater than this, but this is what I can liken it to because it's what I've been through, but I feel like it's like having a baby. It is the worst pain
God
in the world.
Hallelujah.
You woo. Just won't get that baby out to ever touch me again.
Amen.
It is the worst.
I will choke
but
the life out of you.
But as soon as you
God.
See that baby.
Amen.
As soon as you lay eyes.
Amen.
On that child.
Amen.
There's no greater love that you have felt in your life. And you forget about everything else that just went on. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what. Fight the good fight. Stand. Because when you walk through those gates and you hear, amen, well done, thou good and faithful servant, the feeling that I'm describing isn't even going to compare.
Amen.
To whatever we went through on this earth, it was worth it.
Amen. Praise Amen. The name
Just
of the
fight
Lord.
It. Hallelujah. Fight that good fight. Stand.
Praise
Endure
God.
Endure to the end.
Amen and amen.
Amen. We got lots going on coming up.
Praise God.
We want to say that we are opening up the worship team. So if you would like to be part of the worship team, we're going to have tryouts. Just get with Linda, and Amen. She will give you the process. So we're going to be going, we're doing that process all of January. She'll give you all the details. So get with Linda, and she will fill you in. And then Amen. We have the XO Marriage Conference.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. We'll have a sign-up sheet out there on Thursday, mm-hmm. I promise. Mm-hmm. But we have the XO Marriage Conference coming up on mm-hmm. the 12th and the 13th of February, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock on Friday night here, and then 10 o'clock in the morning. So come out to that. That's going to be great. We did it last year. We had a good time. They hit you sometimes, but...
Amen. Praise God.
I want to stand up and say, no, I don't want to do that. But you can't do that.
Praise the Lord. That's going to be great,
okay,
isn't
and
it?
Then... You know, y'all know what next month is. Some of you all might not know, but some of you might know what next month is. Next month marks our 10-year anniversary of being in Canton.
Woo!
Amen.
So actually, on February 7th, I could be wrong, but I don't
the
think I am.
The 6th is the first Sunday we started. When the date was the 6th. Yeah. That was our first Sunday.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's going to be 10 years in one day on February 7th. So that Sunday is going to be like a 10-year celebration, and we're certainly going to preach the gospel and do something to just be thankful for what God has done. Amen?
That's what I was going to say. If sometimes you just think God's not faithful, look where you're sitting.
Amen.
In 10 years, you did this.
Amen.
In 10 years, God did this with this body of Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Listen, there ain't nothing impossible with God.
You know, it's funny because... I was in the Jesse Duplantis service at Only Believe Botkins last night, and there's a group of people that pretty much come every year when Brother Jesse comes, and there was a group that remembered that we were going to be building a building, and so they said, hey, Pastor Phil, how are you guys doing? How's that coming along? And I said, well, the miracle is that I have to shake myself and remind myself that in the year of the pandemic, God chose to still open our building and provide everything that needed to be done. So that which is impossible for us is something that is done in the goodness of the Lord. Yeah,
Amen.
and they work. They kind of work with ministries and churches and this stuff, and they were saying, you know, that's extraordinary. They said, you know, that is an extraordinary thing that when so many churches were struggling a little bit this year, that God just poured that into you guys. So I'm telling you,
guys
are a blessed people.
Amen.
And only God can do it. But yes. I want you to know something. God obviously has great faith in who you are. Amen? You know, I'll never forget the time I was singing a song about how, God, I believe in you. And we were just singing and singing. And I'm telling you, it's almost as though I could hear the Lord speak from heaven. And he said, Philip, I believe in you. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord some praise, because I'm saying that to you because I want to say this. God believes in you. He believes in everyone who's here and who you are and what you have to do. Amen? Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, I think that we're going to go ahead and let the children go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh?
Another thing that we're going to be doing is opening up one Sunday a month for the teens to go back to. So parents, just expect that announcement, what Sunday a month that's going to be. And so we think we're missing some of the teens that are coming on Sunday, and we want to make sure that we give them all Jesus. And that may become more frequent later, but we're going to start out that way. Amen. We think that's exciting.
And for all of you who want to be new members, you're already here, so I already consider you family. But if you have not had a chance to become a new member and you're interested in that, on Saturday the 16th of January at 9 o'clock. I want you to meet with me right here, and we're going to go through some things, and you are going to be members that you already are, you know, of the church, and it's going to be a great time. And if you cannot make it on the 16th, please touch base with me, because we will make sure that we arrange for us to be able to do that. Amen? So it's going to be a good time. That's going to be on the 16th. So make sure you get with me. And next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet out there for all that want to be new members. And I'm just telling you that we're stepping in a time where the Lord is just going to do things in each and every one of our lives. Amen? Praise God. Well, you know, we're going to take up our offering like we do and talk about tithes and offerings. And today, you get a break. You get a break. You don't have to hear from me on this. You're going to have a beautiful man of God that is with us because we're going to be fasting this week for all of you guys.
He's beautiful.
A bunch of, huh?
He's beautiful?
Yes, he's a beautiful young man. And we're going to be fasting and praying as pastors this week. So we're going to have Pastor Mike Blow from North Carolina bless you guys this morning. Hallelujah. Amen.
And I come here for all this grief.
Hello.
And keep coming back. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Amen.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. You know, it's always a pleasure. I find peace and comfort and hospitality.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you for that. Amen. Just thank you for that. Amen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Let's look at God's Word. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, and every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Everybody heard that verse before? Those two verses before? Amen? Most of the time they are expounded on separately, but I want to put them together this morning because I think it's extremely important that we get the fullness of what Paul was saying. Now, Paul was probably the most educated of all the preachers during this season, including the 12.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he was prepared beforehand. Before his calling into the gospel ministry, he was prepared where the others weren't. Everybody recognized that they were just mere fishermen and tax collectors and all these other things. But Paul was prepared in preparation for where his calling would lead him. Now, so how many of us here have a farming background? Raise your hand. If you've got some connection, raise it, let me see everybody, keep them up. If you've got some connection, you've ever walked on a farm, been on a farm, done some stuff on a farm, you know what it is when we talk about farming stuff. Amen? Thank you. Most of you. Well, this is for everybody else. No, I want to clarify something for everybody. These two verses are simultaneously together for a reason. Now, most of the time when we think about sowing sparingly and sowing reaper and sowing bountifully, we think about the amount. It's the amount. To sow sparingly, you'd give a little. To sow bountifully, you'd give a lot. So that you're going to reap in sequence what the way you've sown. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But the second verse supports the first verse. And I'm going to talk to you about the farming, the way a farmer would sow seed. Now, according to the Jewish Talmud, that when a farmer would go forth, he didn't use a tractor and a planter. He didn't have any type of equipment, all except for what he was born with when he sowed seed. So he used his hand and his arm and his legs to move him, to propel him around, and he sowed with what he had, his hand. And the concept here is that whether you're going to be, your hand is going to be liberal or it's going to be conservative. And that is fully connected to the condition of the heart. Because what they're saying is when this sower goes to the field to sow, is his hand tight-fisted or is it loose? And that is determined why what he's decided he wants to distribute. Now, sometime I still broadcast seed with my hand. Sometime, especially when I'm doing some small areas that I do, in my wildlife plots and that kind of stuff. But and so if I'm using tiny seed, I want it to be spread all over a large place, but, you know, if you're not careful, you can put it all in one spot because you're small. So what you have to do is I mix it with an agent that will make it seem to go further. I like to take small seed and mix it with fertilizer or mix it with lime or something that the soil needs. So it's easier for me to be liberal because I've got it where I can spread it good, not pile it up all in one place. So the way the hand goes forth tells us what the heart feels about what it's doing, whether you're holding tightly to what you're sowing or you're freely releasing it. Now, we know, now we've been in worship, right? We still in worship.
Amen.
Worship does not end when we quit singing.
Amen.
We're still in worship.
Amen.
And this morning we're going to worship.
Amen.
Some more. And we're going to do it when we bring our tithes and offerings.
Amen. Amen.
And if you've got any reservation about what you're doing this morning or what portion it is, if you're focused on it, then you might be just wasting your time because it's not going to help you, because it's all about the heart, not about the amount. The amount does not matter. If you're thinking, you know, I don't think I can make it this week without it, don't put it there. Now, this is not what you'd normally hear when somebody's here to receive an offering. But I'm here for more than receiving an offering. I'm here to release a harvest. And your heart is more important than what you're willing to release just because you think you have to. Because you're not pleasing me. And you're not pleasing Pastor. You got to be pleasing to the Lord. And he don't care how much you've got or how much you put in. And he's not going to respond to the amount. He's going to respond to the heart. So you make sure that whatever you put in, you bring it in a cheerful manner. The same way you were singing about what's going to happen to your enemies. Amen? The same way you were celebrating about what God's already done for you. The same way you are testifying about your victory for next week and this year. We come with that kind of attitude when we bring an offering and our tithe. If you're holding back, or you feel like you want to hold back, if you feel like you want to hold back, you have held back, even if you put it in. And that's what limits us, or limits God, because the heart is all about the heart. How will you turn it loose this morning? Amen? Stand with me. If you already have your offering ready, I want you to have it in your offering and your tithe ready. I want you to get it in your hand. If that's your phone, have it in your hand. If it's your wallet, have it in your hand. If it's your check, have it in your hand. Because we're talking about a heart condition this morning. I don't care what you've got to give. I don't care if it's little or if it's big. I care about your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us. You have created each one of us to do your will. You have a plan, a purpose. And we want to surrender 100% to you. You bought us with the greatest price ever. We are yours. We're your sons, your daughters, and we serve faithfully in every realm that you carry us into. So we would need to make sure our heart is right with you. Because we want to worship, Lord. We want to worship. We want you to know that we love you. That we trust you. That we want to bring you honor, bring you glory. We want to worship you this morning with our tithes and our offerings. So, Lord, put joy into our giving. Put hope into our giving. Put excitement and laughter and dancing into our giving. Put a spark into our lives, Lord, because we know it's offering time. It's time to bring that you have blessed us with and to demonstrate how much we appreciate and how much we trust you, Lord. Because the fact is, we might not have tomorrow. We want to worship today. And I pray your blessing on every cheerful giver. Not someone who's been coerced or feels obligated or feels like it's the right thing to do, but people who come with joy in their spirit. And they give what they brought today with happiness and with pleasure, with excitement. Oh, have your way in our lives every minute of every day. Let us bring this portion with great joy. We love you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, celebrate Jesus. Oh, be thrilled in what he's going to do. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing because, hallelujah. You know, offering and giving is a part of our worship. Amen. You know, I want you to know something that we're just going to be preaching to you and just considering the fact that God is good. Amen. And for the whole month of January, I want you to know that we have declared what our titles of our messages are going to be in the month of January. And to be honest with you, the message is your choice. It's your choice. Amen? I want you to know something that we're going to remember that. I've been doing this thing last month. I started this. And there's just a theme scripture that I like to throw out that I'm going to be throwing out every service this month on Sundays, and we're going to start with Joshua 1:9, that the Lord says in Joshua, hold on here just a minute, praise God, there it is, Joshua 1:9, oh, yes, hallelujah, the Lord says in Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I want you to understand something, that in today's world, more than ever, with the challenges we're facing, with the difficulties and the disappointments and the things that can stir up fear and the things that can stir up worry and stress. You know, first of all, I want you to know that we're going to read a scripture a little bit later here that's going to confirm to us what time in which we are living and to give us some confidence that even though things are being disrupted and things are looking strange, we can be confident because God already told us about it. Amen? I want to remind you that the Lord says that he knows the end from the beginning. And I want you to know that what that means is that God gives us liberty to make choices every day. But once we make a choice, God knows what that choice is going to bring. That's right. That's right. But in the middle of your choice, even when you make bad choices, the great thing is that if we can come back to him and if we can get him involved, he says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. I want you to know that all things that happen in your life are not coming from God. I want you to know that when you go through difficult things, we are going to have to give credit where credit is due. And we've got to understand that Satan is a part of a plan to work against you, and that there are times where difficult, negative, nasty, dark, death-destructive things come into your life, not at all because God is bringing them or wants them for you. Sometimes we can make wrong choices that put us in difficult situations. But the thing is, in the middle of anything that can come into your life, if you will look to God, if you will put him at the forefront, if you will get him involved, he can turn any situation that's working against you around in Jesus' name. Amen? And so we want to remind ourselves that the Lord spoke and said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Now, why would the Lord put that out there unless he wanted you to understand that while you go through this journey called life, there are going to be times where you have the opportunity to be dismayed. What in the world is going on? And you have the opportunity to be afraid. And in the middle of those difficulties, God said, I need you to be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because we just have to be strong in ourselves? No, absolutely. He says, because I'm with you. And I really want to make sure that even though we are reading things in the Bible that are going to cause you some concern, I want to remind you that the Lord says, I'm with you wherever thou goest. Amen? You know what's so amazing to me is I don't want you to think that this is the first or the only time that God has said this in Scripture. I want to remind you that the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So before I go farther, I'm going to take you back even before Joshua's time to something that Moses even spoke to Joshua. And I'm sure that Moses had heard God speak to him. Amen? And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, I want to just let you know what it says there. That it says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. I want you to know something, that Moses had already spoken this word to Joshua when God reminded him of the word. Amen? And why did God do that? Because I want you to understand something, that first of all, throughout our life, we're going to need to be encouraged and encouraged again. And I just want to bring you up to speed to understand sometimes we put ourselves under such scrutiny and under such difficulty. We act like if we stub our toe one time in our walk of faith, we act as though God is out there just waiting to judge us. And I want you to know something, that your loving Father is waiting to help you, pick you up, strengthen you, cause you to learn, cause you to be accepted, cause you to be forgiven, cause you to be understood. I want you to know that each and every one of us can have a confidence in the fact that in this life, our God is there walking with us, and he sees us at our highest moment, and he sees us at our weakest moment, and he sees us at all the difficulties of this life, and he keeps reminding us, be strong and of a good courage. I want you to know you can trust in the Lord. Well, Pastor Phil, do you understand that? Oh, let me tell you something. I understand that there are moments when the tragedies of this life can get you so discouraged that it might even steal your hope for tomorrow. But I just wanted to encourage you today that what is so powerful is that without fail, the Lord reveals to us in the Bible multiple times of where people came up against difficulties, challenges that sometimes came against them when they were walking with God in a way that they had never even walked before. I'll never forget that one time King David was working for a king, and he had really committed himself to pursuing the will of God, and he was going to go to battle with this king, and the king said, oh, you know what? All the other men that I'm going to war with have decided that you're not welcome to go with us. And David said, in his heart, man, I've been preparing for this my whole life. And he even said to the king, he said, King, what have I done wrong? And the king said, oh, David, you have been to me as an angel sent by God. In other words, David, you're in pursuit of the Lord. You're serving me. You're doing all you can. There's nothing wrong with you, but the bottom line is all the people around me are saying no to you. I mean, I want you to know that sometimes in life, you might be working as hard as you know to work for God, and you might still get some disappointing news or some doors closing that you don't understand. Now, later it was proven that it's a good thing that door closed. Because God had a whole nother direction and a whole nother plan and brought David to that place. And so I want you to know that as Christians, sometimes you might be fasting and praying for something and really believing and living the best life you've ever lived. You know, it's kind of interesting because Pastor Regina can confirm this to you, and I'll never forget it, that right before I ever came to Kenton, Ohio, buddy, we started getting offers to pastor churches. And it was amazing because what I knew this wasn't the will of God. Because one of the churches that invited me, it was in that state up north. I said, no. But when I went up there, here's what was crazy. They were getting me in a position to take over a church that already had a couple hundred people in it. And that pastor was moving in to another place, and they wanted me to come up there. And they took me up there, and I was in a service there. And it was just in my spirit. This may look like God, and this is God for somebody, but not me. I would rather, hallelujah, just a few weeks later, come to a little building here in Kenton, Ohio, hallelujah, and start basically from the ground up and believe God that he had sent us here. Amen? And boy, I'm glad he did. I want you to know something, that during your life and in your pursuit of God, in the will of God, you're going to have to at times make certain that you're not just looking around at the circumstances around you. You're going to have to make certain that you are listening to hear what the Lord is speaking to you, because I will tell you that not every time and not every day in your life is all your circumstances going to look beautiful. Things are not going to happen in the time you thought they were, and things might not look the way you thought they were going to look. But if you will continue to follow God and make him the forefront of your life, I promise you that all will work out for your good in the name of the Lord. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. I want you to be encouraged to understand this, that no matter what it is, no matter if it's your marriage, no matter if it's your job, no matter if it's even your journey within your church, there may be times where difficulties and roadblocks hit you, and I'm going to tell you that that's when you need to make sure that you stand strong and gird yourself up and say, Lord, you have brought me here, and I'm just going to stand and see what you are doing in my life. Amen? I want to remind you that the Bible says this in the book of Luke, and I'm just going to share with you the fact that if you ever doubted that we are in the finishing of days, I pray that that doubt has left you. I want you to know something. When I see things going wrong in the world, I'm telling you, it does not cause me to be consumed with fear. I want you to know that when I see things going on wrong with the world, don't get me wrong, I may be like you saying, wow, I never thought I would see the day when this happened. I mean, come on, there's been some changes in just the laws and the changes in the way they do things and the changes of our moral standard in our communities and in our cities and in America itself. There's some changes just like this. Whoever would thought that it would be in question if we should keep in God we trust? That's right. Whoever thought that it would be in question that we'd ever say one nation under God? That's right. I mean, to me, that blows my mind. But also at the same time, when that happens, I also know this, that the Lord warned us that in the latter days, men would depart from the faith. In the latter days, wrong would be considered right, and right would be considered wrong. I tell you what, whoever thought that the blessedness of the union of marriage would ever come under such scrutiny? Woo! But I will tell you that in the middle of these things, we need to make certain that we take a stand to stand with Jesus. Amen? I just want to share with you a scripture that you can read the fullness of the chapter of. And if you have any questions, make sure that you come back and see me. But in Luke chapter 21, hallelujah, there is a thing where the Lord is speaking. And he's talking about some of the things that we're going to see in the days that we face. And he says that in these times where there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and there's going to be storms and things within our nation and all these kinds of things, at one point in Luke 21, verse 26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I want you to understand something, that the world is definitely being shaken up, and we're going to see things that if we look at them in just the natural outcome of who they are, they're going to be concerning to us. But at the same time, God gives us some promises here that I just want to share to you. And the Lord says that when many things are going and many difficulties are out there, he says in verse 32, verily I say unto you, the generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with subverting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Christians, I want you to know something, that in 2021 and going forward, it is going to be your choice to make certain that you don't get overtaken with distractions of what's going on in the world. Let me tell you something. It's going to be your choice to keep your faith and your love measure at the highest regard, so that first of all, you continue to pursue God, but also your heart is open to help other people. Amen? I want you to know something, that with all of this going on, my concern is that you can take on this and you can take on this. And in today's world, it would be so easy to be distracted from the number one priority in our life. And the number one priority is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I want you to know something, that we have got to keep our love level great so that we don't let anything distract us from the fact that our number one purpose in this life is that we're going to help others come to the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something, that we need to make sure that we keep ourselves strong, and we remember that there are two things that we need to understand, that in the first going of God in the book of Acts, we were called Christians first in a nation called, or a place called Antioch, but before that, we were called disciples. And we have never lost our identity. Our identity is first we discover Jesus for our own lives. And then after that, we help bring Jesus in the lives of others. Amen? And so as we read here, I want you to see that the Lord is speaking, and he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with these things, so that that day come upon you unawares. For a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. The people that believe in the Lord, people that trust in God, listen, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face hardship. But also, if we keep Jesus as the Lord and as the center of our life, the Bible says that we're going to be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I want you to know something. The number one thing that we need to do as Christians is make sure that we survive everything that's going on in the world and keep our divine nature. Oh, I want to remind you that the Bible says in John chapter 16 that you're not just going to be known for your boldness. You're not going to be known for standing on your rights and standing on your own way of doing things. But the Bible says that you're going to be known for your love. Boy, I just got to dance for a minute. Amen. Whew. I just want to make sure that we understand that in this time of what's going on around us, we've got to be reminded that the biggest thing about us should be our nature and our character draws people to Jesus. You know, the Bible says that in days like this, when difficulty is really raging in the world, the Bible says that each and every one of us should have people that look to us and ask about the hope that's inside of us. I'll never forget that I worked for a company that had been around for years, and parts of that company are still there. But there are a couple plants within that company that closed up. And I can remember that, man, while these plants were closing, I probably did more witnessing in the last couple months of those plants closing because I'd have people come up to me every day and say, Philip, why doesn't this bother you? Why does, you know, you're still out here working, you're still out here smiling, and it's like you don't even talk about the plant closing, and they were mad at me, and I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, it's not that it doesn't hurt my heart. It's not that I'm not worried, but the Bible says that those who are diligent shall prosper, amen? Amen. And I said, I work for the Lord, not just for this place. And so my activity, no matter how much I invest here, even if you close your doors tomorrow, what I have given will be rewarded because God will just move it into the destiny he has for me. Amen? And I want you to understand something, that I got to do more witnessing in those last moments than I had done in years. And I want you to know something, that the church better be ready because the Bible says that the laborers are few and the harvest is great. Why are the laborers few? Because too many Christians are being distracted by what's going around them instead of protecting the wicks in their lamps and being ready to have a word in their mouth for when people come to ask them, why do they have hope in the middle of what's going on? Woo! Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Last night, a man was telling me, he said, you know, in some ways, he said, I don't know. He said, this has been a hard year. He said, but man, we've been blessed. And I said, well, don't be perplexed about that, because that's how it is for those who put their trust in the Lord. Amen? Woo! Praise God. What am I saying to you? I'm not saying that the things going around won't touch your life. I'm not saying that schooling your kids at home has not been frustrating. I'm not saying that having our jobs minimize that time through all of this stuff won't be difficult. I'm not saying that as a mom, you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, it's hard enough to put up with that husband and all these kids running around. Now all of a sudden I got to be teacher, doctor, and all this other stuff. What's going on around here? I'm not saying that those difficulties aren't with us, but I'm saying that those who have Christ to strengthen us are still having a different outcome and a different experience and can still have peace and joy and a goodness in the middle of difficult stuff. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. And I want you to know something, that it's very critical that you don't let the weight going on around you make you forget that the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, glory. But the Bible also says that the afflictions that come upon humanity are not accomplished in us like our brothers and sisters who are in the world. What does that mean? That means that we should be able to face the difficulties going around us and still have a different outcome. Whew. I want you to know something, that I feel an urge to tell you this morning, that I live under a couple principles, and one of the, I know you've heard this before, but I tell you what, my favorite saying used to be, favor ain't fair, but it is mine. And now I've graduated to say, favor ain't fair, but I get it everywhere. Amen? Amen? Woo! In other words, just because the world is having a bad time or a down season don't mean I have to. Amen? And I can show you biblically how that's right, because it says that there was men of God like Isaac that sowed in the year of famine, and it says that they waxed great, grew strong, and received a hundredfold. Listen to me, favor ain't fair, but I get it everywhere. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah! I want you to know something. Live in the blessing. That's what my son says. I tell you what, sometimes he gets on my nerves because I say, Philip, I didn't have this, I didn't have this, I didn't have this. He says, hey, I'm just living in the blessing. My goodness, praise God, hallelujah. And I want you to know something, that for each and every one of us, this must be things that come to pass in our life. Remember, this is your choice. Come on, the Lord said, I put it out there for you. Life and death. But I pray that you choose life. Listen, it's already finished. It's already done. You can receive, but you have got to make the choice. Listen to this. Why is hell's borders enlarged every day? Isn't it funny that the earth has enough capacity to go from thousands of people to billions of people? And I tell you what, don't put, I'm not gonna touch too many subjects, but I gotta just say this. Don't put all your trust in science. Because I remember one time when I was about 8 years old or so, and I was hearing how we're running out of fuel and we're running out of this and there ain't going to be this. And way back then, I want you to know something, that I was never allowed to have a chicken breast. I want you to know that when we had people invited over at that time, I got to eat the neck, the wing, and if I was lucky, I'd get a drumstick. And I can remember when I was about 8 years old, I said, Lord, if we're wearing out of fuel and we're running out of all this, don't let us run out of chicken, because one day I want to be able to eat chicken breast. And I want you to know something, that now I get my choice of what part of the chicken I can eat. And I want you to know that a few years ago, I looked it up, and the Bible says, the history says that 50 billion chickens, or 50 million of them, are 50 million, I believe, are taken every year to feed humanity. And I want you to know something, that I said, my goodness, the prayers of an 8-year-old have come through, because the Lord provided enough chicken that today I can decide when I want to have wings and when I want to have drumsticks and when I want to have a chicken breast. Amen? So what I'm telling you is that, listen to me, we need to honor science. We need to honor those things and respect those things. But we can't ever honor those above the goodness of God. Amen? Because if we had listened to the scientists always, we would never have electricity. We would have never came up with combines. We would never came up with how to produce gasoline and everything else. But I want you to know something, just like this. I want you to know something, just like flying in an airplane. It took men believing God to give them a crazy idea that was always here, but can only be revealed through him. Amen? And so I want you to remind yourself that we never forget that things are not impossible with God's help. Amen? And I want us to remember that right now we have to be willing to stand in those things that God has done. I just want to remind you here that in the book of Colossians, hallelujah, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want you to know something, that one thing we have to do as Christians is we must stand against the enemy. We must stand against the enemy. We must also remember that Satan is under our feet. and we can declare him defeated, but we also have to make sure that we're willing to execute that judgment in Jesus' name. Amen? We have to contend. We have to fight. We have to stand for what it is that we are standing for and what it is that we believe in. I want to go to the book of Jude, and I just want to read something for you, and this is where we're going to land for the day. It says this in verse Jude chapter 1, praise God. This is one time where I cannot be wrong. Amen. Jude chapter 1, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But in Jude chapter 1, verse 2, I want you to say, hear this. It says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. I want you to know something that sounds very familiar to me. Be strong and of a good courage. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Woo! And then it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind each and every one of you that you have to contend for the faith. You know, you have to study, you have to read, you have to pray, and you have to be obedient, and you have to give an intentional effort to live for God. Why? Because if we don't contend for the faith, there's an opportunity that the faith will be stolen from us. I want to remind each and every one of you that Jesus, one of the things he said, he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Well, number one, I give you a guarantee that he's going to find faith on the earth, because the Bible says that the rapture is going to include those who are living for him and looking up while all of this is going on. And so one of the things that I really want to put in our heart today is that we must earnestly contend for the faith. I want you to know it's your choice to stand for the Lord no matter what people think about you. It's your choice to stand for the Lord even if the world tries to tell you that you're a person of hate, because you're standing for what God declares in his word. Amen? I want you to know something, that it's going to be your choice to stand for the Lord even if it's not popular. Remember that over and over we are shown in the Bible. And I can't wait till next week because we got a good scripture for this. But it is shown in the Bible that there was a time where, whether it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whether it was Mary, the mother of Jesus, boy, how tough was she? Her situation was that oftentimes they put ladies of that age to death if they got pregnant before their time, before they were married. And here she had to be strong enough to say, hey, I tell you what, right now I'm carrying something that is bigger than your law, something that's bigger than your attitude, and something that's bigger than your thoughts of me, because I am carrying the will of God in me. Amen? I want you to know something, that sometimes, Christians, you're going to have to be strong enough to say, hey, I don't care about what they're talking about me. You know that old song, there was a woman when I grew up in church, she used to sing a song. And I tell you what, in her older years, she had to walk with her little walker. But once she got singing, she'd sing this song. You can talk about me just as much as you please, but the more you talk, the more I'll stay on my knees, because the Lord has been mighty good to me. That's why I'm grateful, so grateful, so grateful for thee. And I got to tell you something, that by the time she got into that first verse, she didn't need her walker. She wasn't bent over. She was standing straight in the presence of the king, declaring the victory of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want you, give the Lord a hand clap. I want you to know that even if you're feeling weak, even if you're feeling unable, right now, if you contend for the faith and you do what you can do, my goodness, our God will do what he does. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your choice. Make the right choice. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you've put it out there. Choose this day. Lord, you said that I put before you life and death. In other words, salvation has been done for us. Jesus went to the cross. And it has been predestined, God. Not predestined in a way that says, oh, no matter what, you can never. No, no, no. It has been predestined. You put it out there that every person on the face of this earth can be saved. The Bible says it's the will of God for every man, woman, and child to be saved through Jesus. But it's our choice. We have to choose this day. We have to confess our salvation. We have to believe in our heart. We have to put you first. And God, I pray that right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Father, you are coming upon us and refreshing our convictions and refreshing our resolve. Lord, you're putting it in our spirits that we're going to stand for you more than ever, God. Oh, Lord, that we are going to contend for the faith, God, that we're not going to let that which is in this word and that which has been paid for by the blood of Jesus for humanity, we're not going to let it slip, God. We're going to restore, we're going to refresh, we're going to rise up, we're going to make sure that we live lives of faith that can impact this generation and the generations to come, God. And Lord, if you come during our lifetime, and I pray you do, if you come during our lifetime, God, let us be that generation that you can return for, that you see our faith, that you can have the archangel give a shout. And God, let us be caught up. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have some prayer requests. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to pray for Karen's sister this morning, and we're just going to lift her up. She's in the hospital. She's been passing out. They don't know what is wrong, but I thank you, God, that right now, Lord, reveal it, God. Lord, I pray that it would be discovered what is this issue. And God, right now, I loose the working of miracles, and I loose healing in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, that you would touch, Father, and heal and set free in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, we, God, lift up Jessica and we pray for her family, Father, for healing, for strength, God, for you to just supernaturally intervene in what is needed, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, God, that has been who dedicated his life, God, who reconfirmed his commitment to salvation and to Jesus being Lord of his life. God, I thank you that as he goes back to boot camp to God today, that you are with him, that you're strengthening him, God, and we just declare your glory. And God, we just lift up Regina's son, Tommy, right now, Father. Lord, that even in this moment, God, where he's going to the hospital and God, where his health is in question, Father, we just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into him right now, God. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And before I close, is there anybody here who needs to rededicate themselves to the Lord or who needs salvation and says, Pastor, I'm learning more and more that I need the help of Jesus in this life. And I want to make sure that I'm in a position where the Lord is with me and that he is with me in everything I'm doing in life. If that's you, just lift your hand up this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. I believe even if you're out there on live stream this morning, that I'm just going to say this prayer. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord, I come to you right now. I thank you that you went to the cross, that you died and raised again so that I could have forgiveness of all my sins. That if I receive you as Jesus Christ, you become the Lord and the Savior of my life. Not only will you help me in this life, but I will have an eternity in heaven because you are my Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you so much. He's helping you even right now. He has a future and a destiny for you to bring you into all the places and the blessing he has for you. Let's stand strong. And let's make sure that our choice is like the choice we've heard declared in the Bible. Our choice is like Joshua, who says, man, after all this time, we cannot deny the goodness of God. And he said, I put it out there for you, and you have a choice to make. He said, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Be blessed. Be strong this week. And I'm here to pray for anybody who would like for me to pray with you. Amen. God bless you.